Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining Gabrielle and I on our next installment of our CMSC Media podcast, where we're going to be covering the WCM trends and predictions for 2019. We also have a very special guest joining us today. We are going to be speaking with Lauren Jarrett, the CMO at Progress, who will talk a lot about the different trends and where we can see the WCM market going and all that kind of stuff. We'll get into that a bit later. But Gabby, you actually had a really great article you wrote about our attendance of the Progress Next event.
Yeah, so I was actually really fortunate to hear Lauren speak this past year at Progress Next 2018 in Boston. And it was my first time actually attending an event that year. So I was taken aback by the amount of inspirational insight that I was able to receive, not just from the keynotes, but also just with speaking with various like customers and partners and industry experts and like hearing their insights and stories on the event and, you know, what's going on in the market today. Mm-hmm. So it was really great.
Yeah, I loved it because I think there was one keynote that you had to attend that I was doing interviews and I could attend, and I loved it because you kind of came out and you were like, oh my God, like they did this thing with this company and it was amazing and I was so excited. And so I loved it because, again, it was one of your first events and that's always how I feel at events. So I loved kind of seeing that excitement in you.
Yeah, for sure. So when we attended many events in 2018, we noticed that customer relationships were just as vital as the vendor relationships. Mm-hmm. So, you know, customers need to be both inspired and set to see the standard for every system in the market. So it makes it really difficult to choose the best fit WCM for your business in that case. So, you know, your main objective should be focused on the customer touch point and what that particular platform you choose is offering. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's interesting to kind of start the conversation of like going from, because a lot of people get quite confused at like going from WCM to DXP. So I think that's kind of a good place for us to start.
Yeah, definitely. So Laura, let's start off with how your business can, you know, make that shift from WCM to DXP. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's really important for businesses to know the customer of today really demands more than just a one-sided engagement. And the biggest thing that they need to understand is there's really a shift in mindset that needs to happen company-wide when you're thinking about what was, you know, web content management and what was that platform going to give us versus what will like the digital experience type technology give us at that point? You know, customers really want that holistic experience of a brand, whether they're B2B or B2C, or kind of, you know, you hear B2B, B2C, like there's lots of different combinations, which are really cool. But I think all of them, they really need to understand the experience really needs to transcend kind of touch point, platform, device, where they are in their journey, everything like that. Mm-hmm. I think some people might think that in B2B, they don't have to think about that experience that much, that it might only be a B2C realm type thing. And I think that's a really misguided notion. Mm-hmm. I actually think that those in B2B really need to take the experience more seriously, kind of more tailor the experience to the decision maker. Because when you're in B2B, you think about, you know, you're not, when you're in B2C, you're spending your own money. Mm-hmm. Doesn't, you know, if you, you know, overspend on, you know, at a restaurant or a trip or a service or like Botox, whatever, it's your money that you're spending. You don't have to defend it to anybody. But when you're in a B2B situation, you're spending someone else's money. And you're going to have to not, I don't like saying answer to the CRO because I don't like getting that impression of a C-suite. But when you make an investment in a technology that's going to facilitate the experience you want to give your customers, you have to be able to show that value. So I think having that experience and kind of bringing people in a valuable way and kind of proving the value of your platform while you're bringing the decision maker in and kind of when you can walk the walk of what the platform actually does is more important in B2B, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the technology, web content management is that. It's about managing the content that kind of supports the experience. But when you're transcending into DXP, you have to think about it's not just the right content at the right time anymore. Like I said earlier, it's the right content at the right place, on the right device, at the right place in the journey. Yeah. It's a lot going on. It's very difficult. And I know we're going to talk about this later, but it puts a different responsibility on the vendor mm-hmm. when they're really supporting that digital experience versus just WCM. And then I think back to kind of where we were before. When I started in this business a few years ago, you know, the agency that I started with was much smaller and it was very much like every project was the same. It's like, here's our website. Is it mobile responsive? Is it tablet responsive? Cool, we're done. Yeah. And that was it. You know, and then I'm thinking now, like, what even is that? you know, it's not just doing that. It's like, okay, here's our experience, you know, regardless of platform, this is the experience you want to give. And this is how we put it to all those different touch points. So like I said, kind of to wrap up, it's a totally different mindset you have to have about your strategy versus from just content management to going into digital experience.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Yeah. And I think your WCM like needs to be able to support your digital needs as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in those digital experiences, it's huge moving forward. It's just crucial for those experiences to adapt to the technologies that are evolving around you. So you need to be able to cater to that as well.
Definitely.
So as you were saying, Laura, customer relationships can really set the tone for your platform. And, you know, they're just as important as the vendor relationships. Don't you agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely do. The customer relationship is a conversation that I can have forever. Everybody's like, oh, here she goes. But I really see this question as twofold when I think about the customer relationship, and I'm sure many other people do. I think first about the relationship the vendors have with their customers and users. Mm-hmm. And then I think about the relationship that those users as organizations have with their customers. And I think when you start with the first one with vendors, you kind of go from the WCM space to really embodying the digital experience. You need to understand that that comes with a responsibility, I think, to educate the users on what that means. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of WCM brands are kind of falling into the DXP space and they're promoting that. But then a lot of people are confused. You know, it's not a brand change, and it's, you know, some people say that it's a buzzword. It's a valid concept to think about, and I think that vendors need to really be able to support that. And, you know, maybe this puts my marketer nature on blast, but I think that if you're going to call yourself a digital experience platform, your next step is explaining what that is and delivering on it. Mm-hmm. So that includes keeping your users in mind when you create the product strategy. Because again, when you're thinking about, you know, as we've heard, digital experience is tough, personalization is tough. It's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. So products really need to become more on the user side and make it really easy and accessible and kind of understand digital maturity issues that, I mean, I'm going to touch on later, but that can kind of come into effect. So digital experience, you have to tailor your product to be really easy to use and be really intelligent and be able to share insight and stuff like that. The organizations, when they need to think about their relationship with their customer, it's utilizing that intelligence mm-hmm. to kind of take a data set and make it, and use the insight from it. And use the data with governance. I know that I'm thinking a lot about personal data use always, usually, but right now thinking about what France and Google and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, the GDPR rises again because somebody's not, you know, doing what they should. So I think that that's the other thing they have to do, but data is so important. So if a DX is going to be able to get the data that they need to create that experience, mm-hmm. businesses really need to think about how they're going to use that to create the experience for their customer, make sure that they're delivering on it, but really make data their friend in that aspect and really tailor that relationship to them. Because if you think about it, when you're thinking about the use of your customers, if you're in a market of competitive brands and they're creating all their own relationship, you have to think, what is it about my relationship that's going to make me more valuable to them in front of everybody else? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's my data going to tell me about this person that they might not be aware of? And so I think that, you know, if you're all working with the same type of platforms, you're all working with data sets, it's how you analyze and glean insight from that data that can really set apart the experience you're offering.
Yeah. Definitely. And I think that they also, you know, you also need to focus on the need of your customers and those mm-hmm. and the multi-channel experience,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Right? And make sure that they're available along all those touch points mm-hmm. and not just on one. So mm-hmm.
yeah, and really understanding the touch points that are coming.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like,
that too, for
yeah,
sure.
Like I was writing an article today that'll come out that's talking about mobile and how mobile is kind of lagging in these spots. And I feel a little bit like voice is kind of swooping in and taking that from them. Mobile could never reach that potential because voice has now stepped in to take that. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought that 2 years ago when they're making everything mobile responsive, that voice technology would come in and become a whole new way to interact with people.
So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So Laura, when a business is trying to select a WCM platform that, you know, fits their business, how do you think they can go about that?
Yeah, this is a conversation that we've had on CMSC Media before, but it's always a conversation worth having.
Yeah.
Because I think as the customer experience changes, the requirements of these platforms changes. And so it's always good to revisit mm-hmm. how people can kind of choose. And there's so many out there. I mean, I've been in this business for nearly 3 years and there's still tons of platforms that I didn't even know about. And then I feel bad because I'm like, oh, they've been around since like 1999. Awesome. I had no idea.
Yeah.
You know, and then I think there's so many out there, and it's so tough for decision makers to make the decision. I would say kind of my high level list of criteria is to start with really laying out your business objectives, but do not do that in a vacuum. Don't, you know, just sit in a boardroom and, you know, you want to always consult your stakeholders. Think about who's going to be using the platform. Talk about what you want, but do your research beforehand. You know, don't get this big idea of where things are going without understanding the trends that are happening or the technologies that are happening or, you know, maybe this, you know, again, I'm going to go back to voice. 2 years ago, people didn't know what voice was. Maybe in the research, they would have seen it and thought, maybe we need to adapt to that. But if they hadn't done that research, they would have no idea. And then this is how trends come out here and disrupt companies. Or they come in and, like, you know, I was just talking about the headwinds in the retail space. It can totally change things if you don't know what's coming. So when you can really utilize the content available out there to look at what technologies are coming, the changes experts and analysts are really seeing, and the growth that you want to achieve, that's really how you could create your business objectives. And I focus a lot on the growth that you want to achieve. You know, not everybody's go big or go home. Some people can be, but I think that there are some businesses that are perfectly happy in the sweet little spot that they have in their certain market. They don't want to, you know, to grow five times in revenue in 5 years. They like what they have. They like the customers that they have. And that's okay to want to be there still in 5 years, but be offering the kind of experience that your customers that want in 5 years. And then kind of work back from that and think about, we need to do this, we need to do that. You don't have to do everything. Yeah. Again, you can leverage data, again with the data, on what you think that when the direction people are going, and kind of develop your business objectives that way. The other thing that's really important when you're consulting your stakeholders is to think about your digital maturity and what you're capable of doing within your own digital team. If you're not equipped within your digital team to handle a certain thing, can you afford to maintain it? Can you afford to outsource people? Can you, like, do you have the bandwidth within your organization? If you don't, you have to really consider that when you're choosing a platform. A lot of platforms are amazing, and what they can do is awesome. And it might be more than some brands need, but they get really excited about it. And I think that that's really one of the biggest pain points in WCM is user adoption. They're not using the whole platform that they're buying. They're not getting the ROI. They're having a bad experience with that platform when really it's just more than they needed. You know, they're buying the pickup when really a crossover SUV would have been fine. They're paying, they're hemorrhaging funds to power this big, powerful system that they don't need when they could have had a more cost-effective solution over here. So I think really evaluating what your team can handle, what you need to bring in, and then also establishing in terms of a budget what you need to maintain that, because there's always upgrades. Or, you know, if you don't want upgrades, go to a cloud solution. Cloud offers different things with security that kind of helps people keep it lean. There's all these different cost-effective measures to different things that's based a lot on what a team's capable of that need to be considered. The final piece, and I always advocate this, which probably isn't surprising because it's a lot of what we do, is really look at thought leadership and think, you know, if you really want a system that is super flexible, find the organization whose thought leadership is all about flexibility. Or if you really want a mature cloud platform, look at who's been talking about cloud the longest, who's been in the cloud game the longest, who knows the most about it. And also, if you're a really futuristic type of person, and you know, you're like, yeah, this is great, but I'm really excited about the technologies down the road that we don't know about yet, find a vendor that feels the same way. You know, as much as you can, align not only your business objectives with a platform, your digital maturity with a platform, but your thought process with a platform. I think that could make a big difference.
Those are some really great points.
And
I agree that, you know, there's also so much information out there too, that just do your research. Like, there's so much out there that can help you in selecting that as well. And also, one other important thing is your implementation partner as well. You know, that's a huge decision, is, you know, who should you go with? It's the company that you're most confident in, right? So that's a big thing as well.
Because they're really going to be your ally. And I think if you're looking for external help, that's really going to help.
So, as we mentioned, we had a special guest joining us today.
Yeah, I'm very excited. As I mentioned, Lauren Jarrett, the CMO at Progress, is going to be here.
Yeah,
we're gonna Skype in with her in just a second.
Yeah, so Lauren is going to discuss with us the WSN market going into 2019, mm-hmm. DXP, and some of the core principles surrounding customer relationships mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah, I always love talking to Lauren because she has such a deep expertise in this market,
yeah.
And I know that she's worked with multiple vendors, and so she has such a great vantage point on what WCM means, and she's really firsthand seen the evolution from when it was just like, you know, CMS to WCM to DX and all this stuff, and then bringing in like mobile and devices and things like that. The other thing I really love about talking to her, and I hope she does it in this, is she always references really tangible examples to reference her points. I know when I'm talking to anybody about a platform, they're saying it can do all these things, mm-hmm. but I'm wondering, you know, well, and I'm thinking case studies. And so she almost brings in little snippets of case studies that I really love and stats to illustrate her points, which is awesome. So I'm excited to hear from her, you know, her perspective on the WCM market and kind of Progress's position with it.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. Hey, Lauren, how are you doing today?
Hi, Laura. I'm doing well. Thank you.
That's fantastic. So we'll jump into the first question, which addresses the main point of this podcast, really diving into the trends and predictions for the WCM market in 2019. In your opinion, from your like vast experience in the market, where do you think that market's going in the next year?
Yeah, it's a great question. This market has been really interesting and really dynamic for many years now, actually. And over the years, WCM has provided businesses with a really powerful new means of interacting with their customers and with external and internal parties. Today, digital has become the primary, if not the only, means of customer communication for so many organizations. Because of that, the importance of this channel has increased. Because of that, the requirements have increased. So today, hyper-personalized experiences are what organizations need to be able to create for their customers across any digital channel or even, you know, enabling their offline channels as well. Hyper-personalized experiences and these wonderful omni-channel experiences. So not just experiences that look good on a mobile device, but experiences that mirror, track, and offer a really engaging customer journey that adapts to the customer across those points. Transactional capabilities and experiential capabilities, all of these things are needed within what's offered from the WCM system. Machine learning is required to enable smarts that can be embedded into these experiences, really to deliver a much more contextual, personalized, rich, and engaging customer experience. So the requirements for digital success have escalated, and WCM remains a core capability that needs to continue to deliver on this as the needs escalate.
Yeah, I love your point about digital becoming the primary means of consumer interaction and how that has actually raised the bar for personalized experiences. It seems like an obvious notion in today's market, but I really think brands have yet to fully embrace it. With that, the WCM market is moving towards more of a full-featured DXP solution. Where does Sitefinity fit into that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, DXP, digital experience platforms, we really see that as the platform that can provide engagement across all digital channels, right? So it's web, it's mobile, it's chat, it's voice, you know, even AR, right? Whatever it might be. But also really all types of interactions, right? So it may be experiential, transactional, commerce-based, customer-facing or employee-facing, right? All types of interactions that need different capabilities. Some are web, some are going to be more transactional and app-based. All of these different use cases need to be enabled so that the organization can create a digital portfolio and transform themselves in a way digitally that enables them to meet the needs of all of their constituents, both internal and external. So Sitefinity is an incredibly user-friendly and powerful WCM platform that has capabilities like AI-driven personalization, very, very powerful, responsive web and mobile capabilities. And the Progress portfolio as a whole also includes very strong capabilities for high productivity application development, right? So web apps, mobile apps, chat-based, AI-driven experiences, a full suite of capabilities that together really can enable organizations to truly transform digitally. And so as customers build out these multi-experience types, right, and these omni-channel experiences, they need a digital experience platform that can support all of these different needs. So that's what Progress provides. We enable our customers to really build these capabilities and build these experiences with Sitefinity at its core for the WCM.
That's something I've come to really know about Sitefinity and the ProGuess portfolio as a whole. You hold great power in allowing organizations to sort of jump off the desktop and power the experience of whatever digital touchpoint customers may be at. So with that in mind, what technologies does ProGuess offer that allows a multi-channel customer view, and why is that so important to organizations?
Oh, it's so important. So first on Sitefinity, Sitefinity offers very, very strong support for these multi-channel, omni-channel really experiences. So multi-channel components like responsive web and mobile capabilities, chat built in, and more deep personalization capabilities, scalable multi-site and multilingual deployments, and all of this delivered dynamically across all channels and really tracked and orchestrated for a very coherent, integrated, and contextual user experience. So with Sitefinity's, marketers can create unique segments, track journeys, tailor communications, all to meet the individual needs of their users. And all of this is critical to engaging customers. Sitefinity delivers this, and we've seen some tremendous results. So we've seen increases in user engagement and conversion rates by as much as 3x from using Sitefinity. Some wonderful results and examples. A major U.S. professional sports team created their web and mobile responsive presence on Sitefinity. They drove a 3x increase in traffic on their mobile responsive site. An international university, Murdoch University, just rebuilt their entire web and mobile responsive presence on Sitefinity. They saw a 65% increase in their net promoter score. So just some amazing data points on the power of what you can do building with a tool like Sitefinity and being able to create these amazing experiences for customers.
Yeah, that's actually something that I remember from your events that we attended. You offer some great case studies on how brands have been able to make amazing digital strides using the ProGuess portfolio. So my final question is surrounding the customer relationship being extremely important these days. So I'd love to know what you think are some of the core principles around that today.
Yeah. So this is a really great question because, you know, businesses today are all facing an incredibly fundamental challenge. And that challenge is that every single industry around the globe is being disrupted by organizations who are using digital technology and digitally driven business models to create entirely disruptive business models in those industries. So these organizations, even the ones that sell business to business, are engaging the consumer digitally and gaining their loyalty in these powerful new ways. So let me give you some examples. So if you look at, even an organization like Amazon, they are totally disrupting the traditional delivery business, right? Whether it's, you know, food delivery or other types of supplies, organizations that have worked with vendors, you know, specialty vendors in those areas are finding that Amazon works directly with the person who needs those products or that food product that day, who can then go on Amazon and order them. And their traditional suppliers just don't have the business model built to do that. And they don't have that interaction with the end consumer. Another great example is if you look in exercise equipment industry, right? You have all your traditional vendors of treadmills and bikes, and then along comes Peloton, who creates these digitally driven bikes that adapt to the user, know everything about them, give them a wonderful digital experience. And people going to hotels now are demanding, they're going to the hotel and saying, where's your Peloton bike? Right? So it's amazing. Even in these traditional industries, technology is completely disrupting them. So organizations today are really faced with this challenge. You know, digitally disrupt your own industry before someone does it for you, right? This means they need to create these disruptive technology-driven business models. They need to be able to, across web, mobile, chat, voice, whatever it might be, right? They need to be able to harness all of these capabilities and these digital technologies to be able to create new ways to go to market, to create new ways to adapt to the customer, to reach that end consumer, to create demand for their businesses in new and different ways. They need to evolve and they need to disrupt themselves so they don't become dinosaurs. And that's the promise of digital transformation.
That's all the questions I have for you, Lauren. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
That was such a good conversation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really liked Lauren's example of how they used Amazon with their customer relationships.
Yeah.
It's funny, I have a friend who actually lives and breathes for Amazon Prime. So she loves the way that, you know, they can really cater to their customer with being on time when they deliver packages and all that. So I like how she mentioned how customer loyalty and brand trust, is really important.
Yeah, definitely. And I think especially like Amazon is such a topic of conversation. I think people are like, you know, I know we've talked about this before, but Amazon's been successful for a reason. They really know how to tailor the experience to their customer. Yeah. They know what their customer wants and they deliver on it.
Exactly.
Continuously. Yeah. They're reliable, as you can see with the Amazon Prime folks. So I think that, you know, as she mentioned, that is a good model for how to be successful with your brand. Yeah. Outside of commerce, outside of online retail, it's the relationship that they have and the experience that they offer that really makes the difference.
Agreed. So thanks so much for watching and listening. Yeah. Next month, our podcast will feature another exciting guest. So we'll look forward to that.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thanks.